Chapter 3. Lou. Nothing ever felt real until I told Titus. And having said it, I knew that my grandmother was truly gone. I would never see her again. It wouldn't even be a casket. My parents had robbed me of that. I always knew that my family hated me, but I never knew they could be this cruel. "She's gone," I said, feeling his warm arms wrapped around me. "I can't believe she's gone. I'm so sorry." He kept repeating. It was enough for me to forgive him for not reaching out to me until now. He had said that he was coming to rescue me from being alone with my parents. I'd even seen him standing outside the door. He had chosen not to come in. Seeing him walk away had hurt me. The only thing I wanted was to do what I was doing now, cry in his arms. But he had abandoned me. I'd never felt more alone. But none of that mattered now that he was here. We didn't need to talk about why he had gone. There were a lot of things we didn't need to talk about. I didn't know how I was going to break the news of my engagement to him. It was partly because I wasn't sure if we were actually engaged. Yes, he had proposed with a choir of his teammates singing in the background. It was the most romantic thing anyone had ever done for me, and I had said yes. But where has he been since? My parents dropping that bomb on the day of my engagement was a shitty thing for them to do. There was no doubt. It had ruined what was supposed to be the happiest day of our lives. But I wasn't the one who had done it. I was the boy who had had his heart ripped out of him. There were more important things than grand gestures, and she had asked to be my husband. Sure, as I sat stunned, he had sent his teammates home and had held my hand as I tried to process it all. But eventually, he walked me home, and I haven't heard from him since. Did he think it was up to me to reach out to him to talk about how I was doing? Was he trying to give me space to grieve? Whatever he was doing, I hated every moment of it. And considering it had been over 24 hours since I had last heard from him, I was starting to believe that his proposal had been a joke. Maybe joke was the wrong word. Maybe he had done it because he knew how insecure my parents made me feel, and decided that this would prove to them that someone valued me. I hadn't told him anything about the struggles I'd had with my family over the years. But couldn't that be a sign that he was the one? Him knowing what I needed without me having to say anything? "What would you like to do?" Titus asked me eventually, breaking the silence. "Nothing," I admitted. "I just want to sit here, for as long as you want," he said, meaning it. "Actually, do you know what would be really nice? Having a game night. Nothing big, just something nice, you know? I'll set it up." With his assuring words, I sat up, pulling myself from his arms. I stared at him. He was the best friend anyone could hope for. This was probably the time to tell him about my engagement. Even if it hadn't been a genuine proposal, this was my chance to bring it up. Maybe he would tease me about getting engaged as quickly as I did everything else. Maybe I would then make a few quips about it and brush my moment of insanity aside. Whatever would happen, this was my opportunity to make it real. "I think I want to go to bed," I told him instead. "Of course," he said, collecting my things for me and offering me his hand to help me up. I took it, and then slipped my arm around his waist. I always felt so small in his arms. For most of last year, he had been on the football team. He still had the body to show for it. He was going to make some girl a great boyfriend one day. Did I think there was a chance he was also into guys? Obviously. I'd asked enough guys out to know they were all just a drink away from telling me how they kissed their best friend at camp or whatever. But there was a big difference between having feelings for someone and being willing to act on them. The key was being able to tell the difference. And my gaydar told me that Titus wasn't there and might never be. Such a waste. That was fine, though, because he was the best friend I'd ever had. I didn't even know that friendship like his was possible before I met him. Why would I want to do anything to mess that up? It would be the dumbest thing I could ever do. And I have done some dumb things. There was even a time when I agreed to marry someone I'd only been on 2 dates with. Could you even imagine that? Titus walked me back to my dorm and followed me inside. Quinn was home. "Hey, Titus," he said cheerfully. The two of them had met our freshman year when Quinn was looking for his boyfriend's birth parents. Quinn was also the one who convinced Titus to attend East Tennessee. The two went way back. "Why didn't you tell me Lou's grandmother had died?" Titus snapped at Quinn. Quinn froze.
"Lou, your grandmother died?"
"Yeah, it's not a big deal," I said, trying to brush off my oversight.
"When?"
Quinn asked, his cute face crinkling. That's what my parents came to town to tell me. Quinn covered his mouth as tears filled his eyes. It's not a big deal, I insisted as I crossed the living room to my bedroom and crawled into bed under the weight of it all. Stop saying it's not a big deal, Titus said, following me. It's a big deal. Someone important passing away is a big deal. Your parents not telling you about the funeral is a big deal.
Your parents didn't tell you about the funeral?
Quinn asked as the tears streamed down his adorable cheeks. I'm sure there was a reason, I told him, hoping that there was. That didn't stop Quinn from crawling into my bed and wrapping his arms around me. He had never done anything like this before. He has never been the touchy-feely type. But as he held me tightly, all I could think was that it felt good.
I think you're in good hands,
Titus said from the bedroom door. I opened my eyes in search of his.
Thank you. I don't know what I would do without you, I said sincerely. I'll call you in the morning to see how you're doing,
he said, filling a hole I didn't know I needed filled. Not too early, I joked.
Titus smiled. What am I, a monster?
I laughed. It was the first time I had since getting the news. I felt more pain than I ever had in my life, but I knew that as long as I had Titus, I was going to make it through. And then I got comfortable in another cute guy's arms. My grandmother was clearly looking after me from above. It was the following day that I received an email from my parents informing me of my grandmother's will reading. It surprised me that they hadn't waited until the last minute to tell me about that, too. If nothing else, my grandmother always made it clear that she would be passing down her entire fortune to me. It wasn't like I cared about stuff like that, but she had insisted. She told me that it had already been taken care of and that I had to prepare myself for it. I, of course, did no such a thing. That was future Lou's problem. I was present Lou. And let me tell you, past Lou was a bit of an a-hole. He dumped everything he ever had to do on me. Did he even know what responsibility was? Not having to be at my grandmother's estate until Friday, I decided not to think about any of that until then. I was in mourning. I had more important things to worry about, like how to get out of bed. Do you think you'd be up for a game night on Friday? Titus asked when he FaceTimed me. I have to head home on Friday.
What about Thursday?
Sure, I guess.
Then save the date.
I don't have anything else going on, so it shouldn't be a problem, I said sadly. There was a pause as we stared at each other. How are you feeling? It's hard to believe, you know? I used to call her every 2 or 3 days, but I hadn't spoken to her for weeks before she died. I didn't even know she was sick.
Do you know what she died of?
My parents haven't said.
Do you think you could get more details from your brother?
You mean the Antichrist? I haven't spoken to him since the last time we were both home. We're not close.
Wouldn't this be the perfect time to mend whatever broken fences are between you two?
Titus, I do not trust him with a hammer.
I'm serious, Lou.
So am I. Once as a kid, he walked up to me with a hammer, looked me in the eyes, and then smashed my foot with it.
What?
It was one of those plastic hammers and he was 5, but he had looked me in the eyes before he did it. Message received.
How old were you?
4. I'm telling you, he's a spawn of the devil and my father.
Okay, well, do you have any aunts or uncles you could contact for more information?
Not really. I'm sorry, Lou. I shrugged. The good thing is that after this weekend, I'll never need anything from my parents again.
That's good.
Believe me, when you have parents like mine, it's like having a pride parade on Christmas. Although Santa's a bear who spends all of his time with Twink, so I guess that's already called a Christmas parade.
Titus smiled. Then I'm happy for you, but I'm sorry it had to happen like this.
Thank you, I said, seeing his sincerity.
Are you sure you're going to be up for Thursday's game night?
I think so. You're not going through a lot of trouble, are you? Titus thought.
I'm going through enough trouble that you shouldn't cancel it for a date, but not enough that you have to feel bad about it if you did.
I laughed. You know me so well.
I'm glad you noticed, he said, with a smile.
Hanging up from Titus, I suddenly had the energy to get out of bed. I did have classes, after all. Inheritance or not, no one wants to date a dumb guy, no matter how pretty he is. Forcing myself to get dressed, I thought about C. I still hadn't heard from him. I refused to be the one to reach out to him first. I was in mourning. Didn't he understand that? Titus did, Quinn did. It wasn't that hard of a concept to get.
Though, maybe the other reason I hadn't reached out to him was that I was hoping the whole thing would go away.
Don't get me wrong. There were things about being engaged that I loved.
I couldn't wait to bring him to my grandmother's will reading and rub my engagement in my family's faces. Mother, you said that I would never find love because I was gay. Well, gaze at his amazing cheekbones and tell me how wrong you were. Don't be shy. Your Antichrist of a son wants to hear too.
Yeah, that was definitely a moment that needed to happen. But did I want C at Titus's game night? I'm not sure if I did. It felt like something that was only for family. Wasn't C now my family? It didn't feel like it was. Should I be feeling this way?
After a day in which I heard from Titus a lot, I decided to be the bigger man and reached out to C. This wasn't a battle. At least it wasn't supposed to be. So I texted him, telling him I was feeling better, and told him about the will reading.
Why hadn't I also mentioned game night? I guess it slipped my mind.
I'm glad you're feeling better, beautiful. When's the reading?
Sunday? I might have a game on Saturday. Where is it?
I sent him the address to the estate.
I'll let you know.
I'll let you know, I said, reading it aloud. Nothing filled me with less confidence than relying on him to let me know about something. I mean, he was going to be there for me, right? He had to know this was important. How could he not know this was important?
You getting ready for tomorrow night?
Titus asked when he FaceTimed me again, this time as I left my final class for the evening.
Should I be?
I would be, considering how often I crush you when we play against each other, but don't worry. I know you're going through something. I'll be taking it easy on you.
Oh, is this how it's gonna go? Because if you want me to bring it, I'll bring it. You can count on that.
No, everyone agreed to take it easy on you. We know you can't take another blow with everything going on.
I stared at my phone screen and Titus's smirking face. Had he gone insane?
He had to know that I could wipe the floor with them. I mean, as long as it wasn't a word game, because, you know, Quinn. But other than that, I would mess up all of them.
With my mouth still hanging open, I heard Titus's voice in duplicate. I looked up to see him standing in front of me. He was still smirking at me with his adorable, stupid face.
You're catching flies, he said, reminding me that my mouth was hanging open.
I'm just so in shock that you think you have a chance of beating me at anything. It's funny how grief affects your memory.
I laughed a vengeful laugh.
Oh, do I have plans for you? Save it for tomorrow, Maleficent.
Maleficent? I asked, having forgotten about anything other than the things I was going to do to him.
I packed a couple of sandwiches. You want to find a spot in the grass and chow down?
You packed a couple of sandwiches, huh?
Yeah, roast beef, ham. I figured it'd be less of a hassle than heading to the cafeteria and getting lost in the crowd.
You figured it would be less of a hassle, huh?
Yeah. I took a moment from my spiral into villainy to process what he said.
Oh, that's actually really nice of you. Thank you. But you know this isn't going to protect you from what I'm going to do to you tomorrow, right?
I never thought it would, Titus said with a smile, before finding a beautiful spot under the trees and sitting down. Titus and I chatted and laughed for the rest of the evening.
When it got dark enough to see the stars, I pointed out my homework.
I have to ask you this, Lou. When you decided on astronomy as a major, you knew that celebrities weren't the stars you would be studying, right?
Oh, ha ha.
I'm just checking, because I'm sure you still have time to switch majors to something useful.
Astronomy is useful. How do you think cell phones work?
Titus looked at me confused.
By pressing the little button on the side,
obviously.
I smiled. There's a little more to it than that.
The next time we're away from city lights, I'll give you a better explanation.
I look forward to it, Titus said, looking me in the eyes. I wasn't sure what was different about the way he looked at me tonight, but staring back at him, I felt something. It was harder to breathe. With the lights creating a halo around his large curls, my heart thumped. I wondered if I wanted to kiss him. This would have been the perfect time to tell him about seeing my engagement. He deserved to know. I had already gone long enough without telling him. But when I opened my mouth, I said,
you know I'm going to crush you in tomorrow's game night, right?
We'll see, he replied with his usual big smile. His usual, beautiful, heart-melting smile. Holy crap, I wanted to kiss him. What the
I popped up, shaking.
I should go.
Something the matter?
He asked, looking at me concerned.
No, I just need to go.
It's getting late.
I told him before he walked me to my dorm, and I shook his hand, wishing him a fair, seaworthy night.
I didn't know what I was saying. I was panicking. It felt like he wanted to kiss me goodnight, and I would have let him. This is Titus I'm talking about. My best friend. The one person I couldn't take lewing things up with. The one person I couldn't stand to lose.
What? Quinn asked as I stared at him with my back pressed against our living room door.
How did you know that Cage was the one?
I don't know. I just knew. After a little help from someone smarter than me.
Okay, so you're way smarter than me. You're way smarter than everyone.
I told him, sitting next to him at the dinner table and pushing everything in front of him aside. Quinn looked panicked for a second and then gave into the moment. What's going on?
There's something I haven't told you.
That you're in love with Titus?
No, wait, why would you say that? You know what? Never mind. That's not what I'm talking about.
Then what's going on? Quinn asked, crinkling the skin between his eyes adorably. Someone might have asked me to marry him, and I might have said yes, I said, bracing myself for his response.
Who? Titus? He asked in almost a whisper. This isn't about Titus,
I said, frustrated that he kept bringing up the guy I was suddenly having feelings for.
Okay, I'm just having a hard time figuring out who else you've known long enough to agree to marry.
I felt every blow from his unintentionally hurtful words.
Do you remember that guy I told you I was texting every morning and being super romantic?
Quinn searched his near photographic memory, not coming up with anyone.
The most recent guy.
Okay, sure. Well, my parents came to town. I asked him if he wanted to meet them. He agreed and then proposed in front of them. It was actually pretty romantic. Quinn looked at me shocked.
Lou, Cage and I have been dating for 2 years and not even were engaged. And I have no idea what you're waiting on, I said, finally having the opportunity to say it.
Are you two holding off in case you meet someone hotter than each other? Because that's not going to happen.
We're waiting for me to graduate and maybe live a little or something.
I'm actually not sure why we're waiting.
But what I am sure about is that 4 dates would have been too soon.
First of all, it was 3 dates, and technically, he asked me after date 2.
Lou! I know, I said, letting my true panic show, and he did it in front of my parents. Now I have to go home for the will reading, and they'll expect him to be there, and he doesn't know if he can come, and I don't know if I'm in love with him.
I paused, finally getting out what I truly wanted to tell Quinn. I was engaged to a guy who I didn't know if I loved. I stared into his soft, forgiving eyes, waiting for his response. He simply tightened his lips into a smile, got up, circled the table, and wrapped his arms around me.
You're getting real good at this, I said, awash in his warmth.
I'm getting a lot of practice, he joked.
You're welcome.
We both laughed and he let me go. Allowing Quinn to get back to work, I headed to my room. I didn't expect Quinn to have any answers for me. He was a literal genius, but he wasn't what you would refer to as people smart. He was a good friend, though. So was Titus.
Which would make it that much sadder when I mop the floor with him at tomorrow's game night.
I say that, but it wasn't like I actually wanted to beat him so bad that his mama came after me. That was just our way. We enjoyed teasing each other.
I mean, did I have a competitive side that made me need to win at everything I did? Sure. And did beating him at game nights give me a rush that would keep me up until 4 a.m. afterward? Of course, but wasn't that everybody?
He and I had our fun rivalry when it came to these things. And in no way would I spend the rest of the night imagining tying his loser ass in a rim and beating it like a drum. It was going to be a few hours at best. The next morning when I woke up, I was excited about the day. It was the first time since getting the news about my grandmother that I was. I knew the grief would come rushing back if I let it, but I didn't want it to. At least not today. It didn't even bother me that this was the 5th morning in a row that C hadn't sent me a good morning text.
I mean, what had happened?
All I had done was ask him if he wanted to meet my parents. He was the one who took it past that. I hadn't asked him to do what he did next. In any case, today I was in a great mood. Headed to my first class, I FaceTimed Titus. So, you never mentioned what we'll be playing tonight. I might need to brush up on the rules.
Trust me, you'll be fine,
he said with another of his broad, beautiful smiles. Are you just saying that so you'll have the advantage? Because I'm on to you, mister.
Titus laughed. Although I wouldn't put it past me, I promise you, you'll be fine.
Okay. By the way, who's coming?
It'll be the whole group. I invited everyone. They can all make it.
Oh, I said, moved. Isn't that what you wanted?
It is. I just... nothing. It should be a fun night.
It will be. Promise, he said sincerely.
Okay, well, I'm about to head into class.
Call me anytime, he said, sending a warm wave through my body and making my dick flinch.
I hung up.
Well, that's new, I said, wondering how hard my dick would be as I entered class. The answer was completely hard. So, sticking my hands in my pockets, I found a seat, trying to not think about what getting hard meant. Was I catching feelings for my best friend? It couldn't be. Not Titus. I mean, he was cute and sweet and fun to be around. I think anyone who has met him would agree with that. And he did have quite the body. At least, he seemed to. I'd never actually seen him with his shirt off. I wonder what Titus would look like with his shirt off, I thought, instead of paying attention to anything my professor was saying. When game time rolled around, I was ready for it. Usually, Quinn and I hosted, and Quinn took care of all the details. But when Quinn didn't arrive home with chips and I was there by myself, I was confused. I was about to call Titus when there was a knock on the door. Titus? I said, feeling a rush.
Hey,
he said, entering with barely a hint of his usual smile.
So, who did you say was coming?
Titus stared at me. I have a confession to make.
Okay, I said, unsure if I should feel disappointed or worried.
The game I set up for tonight is going to be a little different.
You mean like a strategy game? Is that why no one showed up?
Titus smiled.
No, it's a scavenger hunt.
Relief washed over me.
Oh, cool. I love scavenger hunts.
I know you do. And this one has a theme. Okay, I said, wondering what was going on. Titus pulled a scrap of paper out of his pocket and handed it to me. I took it, unsure if I should open it.
It's your first clue.
I hesitated, seeing the sincerity in his eyes, and then slowly read it. Go to the place where your grandmother first told you that you were beautiful the way you were. I couldn't breathe. My stomach shook, and before I could get a word out, I exploded into tears. The theme of Titus's scavenger hunt was the love my grandmother had for me. I fell into Titus's arms, sobbing uncontrollably. I can't, I said, overcome with grief.
I'll be here with you. I'm not going anywhere, he said, holding me tighter.
I stayed in his arms as long as it took for me to pull myself together. Wiping my eyes, I said, I guess I should attempt to play your game, you sicko. Titus chuckled. I was glad he did, because I didn't want him to think this was anything other than the most thoughtful thing anyone had ever done for me. So, let me see, I said, reading the instructions again. Go to the place where your grandmother first told you that you were beautiful the way you were. I thought about it. Well, that had to be after I told her I was gay. I narrowed my eyes on Titus. Did I even tell you about that? With his usual smile, he shrugged. Clearly, you're not going to be of any help. But if I went to where my grandmother told me that, I would go to her library. Are we supposed to drive to her estate? I asked Titus. He didn't respond. Staring at him further, I said, No, but you do want me to go to the library. I'm right, aren't I? That's where I'm supposed to go.
You're supposed to be so good at games, Titus quipped. You tell me.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, we're going to the campus library.
Lead the way, Titus agreed.
Feeling more alive than I had in a long time, I rushed out of my place, almost sprinting across campus. Approaching the glowing four-story building, I saw a familiar face outside. Quinn, what are you doing here? Instead of saying anything, he smiled and handed me my next clue. I read it. Find the book your grandmother would always read to you after your mother said cruel things to you. I lowered my head and fought back the tears as I remembered the vile things my mother would say. She was always my defender. She was the only one who didn't make me feel like I was the worst person in the world. Falling into tears again, I admitted, I miss her so much. Both Titus and Quinn put their arms around me. It felt good. It felt good to talk about her. And it felt good that I had people who would be there for me. But, pulling myself together, I took a deep breath and answered the question.
The story my grandmother read to me when my mother would say the most horrible things to me is The Velveteen Rabbit. I'm still not sure why, but I'm also sure I didn't tell either of you that. I don't know if I told anybody.
That's the book, then we should find it,
Titus said confidently. No, I said, doubting, but delighted that he could know that.
That's the book, right?
Titus confirmed.
Yeah?
Then that's the book you need to find. I stared at him, shocked that this could be happening. But leaving Quinn, I entered the library and approached the front desk. Do you have a copy of the book, The Velveteen Rabbit?
I'll check,
the dark-skinned girl said from behind the desk.
We do. There's one copy, and it should be on a shelf located on the third floor.
The girl grabbed a slip of paper and wrote down the card catalog number. I took it and stared at it, still not believing this was happening. Bounding up the stairs, I found where the book was supposed to be. It's not here, I said, staring at Titus in a panic. Titus just stared back with his cocky smirk and said, I thought you were supposed to be good at this game. That got me. Oh, it's definitely on. Heading back to the desk, I told the librarian it wasn't there.
It's definitely marked as checked in, so it's in the library somewhere,
she said, confirming on her computer.
If you'd like, I can help you check the reshelving carts. There's a good chance it's on one of those.
I looked back at Titus, who watched me smugly. I bet there is. Don't worry, I got it, I told Titus's co-conspirator. For the next 20 minutes, I checked every cart with books I could find. Luckily, there weren't many. The problem was that it wasn't on any of them. I was about to declare Titus's plan a bust when I glanced out past the fourth floor balcony and noticed all the students at the study desks below. I looked back at Titus. He knew I had him. Rushing down, I scanned every book on every desk I saw until another familiar face. This time it was Nero, Titus's ex-roommate and best friend. He was also Quinn's soon-to-be brother-in-law. Nero smiled as I approached him.
Nero in a library reading? Now I know this is supposed to be a clue.
It's not that weird,
Nero said in his rich, small-town Tennessee accent. Titus and Nero had grown up together. But unlike Titus, there was no mistaking where Nero was from. What are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be getting ready for the NFL season?
We got a couple of days off, so I decided to come in and visit my boyfriend, if that's okay with you.
No, that's beautiful, I said, moved by how open he was about his feelings for a guy.
And if you don't mind, I would like to get back to my reading, Nero said,
before conspicuously holding up his copy of The Velveteen Rabbit. I chuckled. The night continued like that, with clues, tears, and friendly faces until the last clue, which simply said, Now think about all the things she was to you, and you were to her, and let your sadness sail away. I held up the slip and turned to Titus.
I could either say you have no idea how grief works, and this is the lamest conclusion ever,
or I could take you to where I go when things get too much and I need a moment. But I'm absolutely positive there is no way you know about it.
If you do, then I should be worried.
Then maybe you should be worried, Titus said with a gentle smile. I smiled back. And taking his hand, I took him to the pond on the far side of campus. This is where I go when being me becomes more trouble than it's worth. It centers me. It's the closest I ever feel to home. I know, Titus said before directing my attention to the group of people standing by its edge. As he waved, their faces lit up. It was everyone who had presented me with clues and anyone who meant anything to me. They all had candles and sad smiles. Your parents didn't invite you to your grandmother's funeral, so I thought it only appropriate that we have a memorial of our own. I couldn't stop myself from crying. This time it wasn't out of grief, it was out of happiness. I was the luckiest guy in the world to have had my grandmother in my life. Titus had reminded me of that and had focused me on the positives. The tears that rolled down my cheeks this time were out of gratitude for Grandma Aggie and for having Titus in my life. Receiving hugs from everyone when I arrived, we placed the tea candles into little ships. With them, we added the clues that had generated such amazing memories and set them free on the pond. We all watched them in silence before everyone else slowly peeled away. Soon, Titus and I were the only ones left. Thank you, I told him, still lost in his arms. You're welcome. Anything for you, he replied. Never was I sure that he meant it. Titus, can I ask you a favor? It's kind of weird. Of course, he said, turning to me as I pulled out of his arms. I could barely look him in the eyes. I'm going to my grandmother's will reading tomorrow, and my parents think I'm engaged. There's a whole story to why they do, but long story short, do you think you could go with me and pretend to be my fiancée?